Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? Hello? Yeah. I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, there's a delay.
All right, folks, I think you can hear me now.
Yes,
again,
yes.
You can? Oh, my gosh, look, it's working.
Finally.
All right. For everyone who's listening, thank you so much for hanging with us. It turns out that there is more that has changed about the Blog Talk Radio platform than I had thought. You know, I spent some time this afternoon playing around with it. It looked as though it was all supposed to work, but I think I got it now. And I'm so happy to have you here on the show, Lex. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, feeling much better now that we can actually talk with each other.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the topic of the show today.
Oh, yes. I'm Lex. I'm a musician, singer-songwriter, an actress, writer. I perform a lot in the city and in New Jersey. I'm in between New York and New Jersey, and I'm glad to be on the show.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes.
That's all I got so far.
All right. Well, I'm really glad to have you on the show. And, you know, I want to take a moment to say hi and thank you to, I guess he's your uncle, Ian Lynn?
Yes.
So
yes,
he's the reason that I reached out to you, and I'm hoping that he can hear us right now, that I've got, you know, the show working, because I want to have a chance to say thank you to him. You know, he contacted me a few months ago, and he said, you know, we really miss you doing the show. Please come back and do the show. And I listened to that, and that's why we are broadcasting today, is because I was encouraged to do so by Ian. So I want to take a chance to specifically say thank you, Ian, for doing that. So, you know, he's listening. I see a message here on Facebook. Ian, if you can hear me now, please go ahead and update. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. So
he's awesome.
Tell us a bit about the song that we just heard.
Yeah. So that song was called Bad Wolf. It's funny. Some people have come up to me and said, oh, wow, that's a great Doctor Who reference, which is a show I love, but it's actually pretty simple. I dressed up as Red Riding Hood one time, one Halloween, and this guy I liked at the time, he whispered in my ear, I should have dressed up as Bad Wolf so that it could match.
Oh, my gosh.
That was inspiration for the song.
Okay. And I asked about that because, you know, when we spoke a little bit earlier, we communicated via email a little bit. You mentioned that you have an EP coming out, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. But that a lot of the songs on that EP are inspired by an experience that you've had with breakups.
Yes, yes. The song I just played was actually from my old EP. I don't have my songs from my latest EP you know, officially mastered and all yet. But yes, there are a lot of songs that I wrote from my last relationship, my only relationship really, that I've ever had. And that relationship was a big inspiration in so many different ways and so many different facets of my life. And the EP is just one of them.
Well, that's fabulous. And it's great when you're able to take something positive out of a situation that can be really difficult. Or I'm assuming that it was a difficult situation. Was it a difficult situation for you?
Yes. That's putting it lightly.
Mercy. So it sounds like there's a story behind there.
I feel like it's a story, but it's not even a properly formatted story. It's just
okay.
A lot of ups and downs. Because we broke up twice, so it's kind of, you know, that whole back and forth. Like, we're together, we're not together. We're together, not together. I feel like my generation's kind of like that. We don't know what we're doing.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that I have a list of show topics that I'm looking forward to presenting in the future. And actually, that's one of them. You know, I'm going to call it the never-ending breakup, where, you know, folks break up and get back together and so forth. So I'm certainly aware of that phenomenon and about the toll that it can take on individuals as they are, you know, trying to navigate their relationships and the ends of their relationships. And one of the reasons I attribute to folks having such trouble navigating ending relationships is because we really don't talk about it in healthy ways. I mean, what is your experience with folks talking about breaking up and having healthy breakup experiences?
Well, with my friends, I feel like our discussions about breakups usually are over margarita or something like that. So I guess, yeah, and one way you could say that's a bit unhealthy. But I think that it's hard to talk about it because people, like, in general, I think it's a human thing to categorize and simplify things and make them like, this is good, this is bad. And if you don't have a proper hero and villain in the story, it's hard to really talk about it because it's not so simple. It's kind of complicated. It involves admitting to your own flaws and admitting that the person that hurt you is not a total jerk or total villain. They're like a person. Like they have different parts to them.
You know, you brought up something right now that is so profound, and I'm so glad that you brought it up. It is a really nice segue into diving a little bit deeper into the specific topic for today, which I titled, Why Are Breakups Such a Big Deal? And what I really meant was, you know, why are they such a big deal to society? Why is it that when people break up, it seems as though their community, the folks who are close to them, feel obligated to somehow own it, right? To be involved in it. Everybody has an opinion. And that idea that there must be a villain and a victim, right? An identifiable villain. One person is a good person and the other person is a bad person. And so we're going to, parse and analyze everything that happened in the relationship and everything that happened in the breakup in order to be able to identify who was wrong. So, this is an experience that I think about in terms of our celebrities, for example. Most recently, Brangelina is breaking up, and folks have a lot to say about that. Anytime Halle Berry breaks up with somebody, folks have a lot to say about who is the bad person, who is the right person, right?
Yeah, totally. Yes. It's easier that way because then you don't think of it as like this painful thing. You think of it as this sort of thing you can map out and direct and I don't know.
Part of it might be because we as human beings really just need simplicity, right? We look to finding the most straightforward, simplistic answer to the problems that plague us.
Yeah, and that's not wrong. I mean, I think it's kind of just a natural thing that we do to survive life. It's just a matter of, I guess, that can be your initial reaction, and then you step back and look, wait a second, like that was the first look, let's take a second look and a third look. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny you bring up the idea of, you know, it's part of how we survive as human beings, as biological creatures on this earth. It is true that if we were to have to look at every single situation that we encounter as being really complicated, we'd be exhausted, I think, right?
Yes.
So there is that need sort of to simplify things. And then also we seem to have this need to find scapegoats. You know, you're talking again about the villain, about, you know, who's the person who caused it and who's the one whom we can point fingers at and say, you know, you're the bad one, you're the dangerous one. We're going to, you know, excise you from our lives and in that sense get rid of the danger.
Yeah.
So I'm curious then, you know, you were saying that this was your first, your first relationship, your first breakup. Am I right?
Yes.
Well, that's really huge. I'm curious about what you've learned from this experience, this first time experience going through something so significant?
I've learned quite a few things. And the funny thing is that even when you learn something, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to apply it to the next thing. Like, I feel like I know things I learned that I already know. Like, I already know that just because someone says something about you doesn't mean it's true. You know who you are. But it's still, like, every time you get into a situation where someone says, you know, you're not that great, or you're, you know, you're useful, or, you know, objectifies you, you have to remind yourself that every time that you have to choose yourself. You have to say, hey, you know, I'm choosing to define myself, not going to let somebody else define me.
That is such an important lesson for folks to learn, and it often takes far too long, actually, unfortunately, for folks to grasp that lesson, that who you are ultimately depends on who you believe you are, right? Your first and most important best friend.
Yeah. And I think also it's a matter of realizing that even when you learn the lesson, you have to keep reminding yourself. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I learned it, so I'm moving on and not thinking about it. Like, you have to, like, humans are creatures of habit. We have to make it part of our daily lives to remind ourselves that we have power in our choice and free will.
But we have choice and we have free will. You know, that's true. And then we also live in community. We live in community with other people who want to have input into our choice and our free will. So I'm interested in how perhaps your friends impacted your experience going through your breakup.
And my friends outside of it that were giving their intake, their input?
Oh, yes. There's always a chorus, isn't it?
Yeah. At first, I think, so we broke up twice, and the first time, someone in my family actually kind of made me feel bad about it, like, oh, you kind of deserve to be broken up with, and I genuinely believed that concept and twisted it and then thought, oh, yeah, I'm terrible or whatever, and I should get back with this person. That was not the right, choice. I mean, I'm not going to regret it, you know, it's over. But now I know it's not a good idea to listen to. Sometimes you have to not even talk to people right after it happens. You have to kind of just be with yourself. And then, like, one of my friends, when she broke up with her boyfriend, she didn't even tell any of us until, like, maybe a month after it happened. She just kind of, like, took a step back to figure herself out, to be grounded in her decisions and what she thought of the situation, and then let us know. So I kind of like that. I mean, not a whole month, but maybe, you know.
Well, but it's interesting that she did have the thought to do that, you know, that she didn't come to you right away and tell you what happened. Do you get a sense of why she made that choice?
I think she's very aware of, like what you said, people, this community being so involved, and she's not very into social media and stuff, so I think she's not about that whole, you know, for the gram and for the likes, and so she knows that that is part of our current culture, the norm of our society today, for people to be heavily involved, and she's not really for that, and so, but I'm very open. I wear my heart on my sleeve, so, like, even if I didn't say it, we had broken up, everyone would have known just from looking at my face, like, oh, they broke up.
So anybody who knew you.
Poker face. Yeah.
Right. Anybody who knew you would know right away that something was wrong. What about yourself? I mean, if you wear your heart on your sleeve, I can imagine that you also have a great capacity for empathy with other people.
Yeah. I think I try to give people the benefit of the doubt first, to try to understand what their feelings are, what their take is on things, Yeah, I feel like sometimes it's great and sometimes it gets me into trouble.
Well, and that's actually where I'm headed, is where it might be that while you understand that outside influences might have a unfortunate sort of unintended consequence for you, where, you know, you had somebody who told you or gave you some advice and you went back and, you know, got back together with this person and wound up breaking up with them again. I wonder whether you can recall experiences where the shoe was on the other foot and you were the one who, out of an abundance of care and concern for a friend, got involved in their breakup.
There's not a very specific moment that comes to mind, but I think times where that's happened has probably been like when my friend is dating my other friend. That can, when you know both parties, it's like, oh, you feel, probably the smartest thing is to not get involved at all. But I did slip one time. Yeah, no, I think about it. Because I remembered one person told me something, and then the other person was like, oh, we're going to be together forever. And I was like, I wouldn't think like that. And he's like, why? And I was like, I think you should be smart about it. And it was kind of like, you feel torn when you're in between two people, when they're both your friends. So in those
cases,
that's
a hard one.
Yeah.
That's a really hard one where you are friends with both people, so I'm going to assume that you care about both people, and it turns out that you know something that one of the other people doesn't know about the relationship.
And then it's kind of you have to decide who means more to you in that moment.
Right. Do you say anything? Do you not say anything? What a dilemma.
Yeah. I ended up saying something. But that's because it slipped. It's like one of those TV rom-com moments. I just slipped.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because I was like, he's like, whatever, we're exclusive. And I was like, I don't know. If I wouldn't think of it like that. And I don't want to say the details. It sounds so bad. It sounds so bad when I say it. And I was like, ooh, what did she say? But no, I mean, it turned out that I ended up not being friends with the other person because she was like, wow, I can't believe you told him. And it was like, I felt bad. I didn't want him to, make a fool of himself, publicly. I just couldn't let him do that.
Well, I think it's one of the burdens
he was planning to do.
Right. Well, I think it's one of the burdens of being an honest person. What do you do in a situation like that where that somebody is doing something that really isn't cool? And, you care about both people, but at the same time, you have this sort of instinct that compels you to tell the truth.
Yeah. I think it's the life dilemma. Like, things aren't black and white. There's a lot of gray. A lot of gray.
Right, exactly. Well, taking in all that you have said about these experiences with your own breakup, dealing with other people's breakups, I'm brought back to the central question that I'm curious about in terms of this show and want to chat with you about, which has to do with then why is it that when people break up, it reverberates so much through the communities? Why is it such an issue for your close friends when one of them has a breakup with somebody else? Or is that something you've experienced?
Oh, where my breakup affects everyone else around me?
Well, it's not just that your breakup affects everybody else, but that everybody else chooses to be affected.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know for my mom, it's because her hope is that I'm married and giving her 5 grandchildren. So that's why she's affected. Takes it very personally. It's more about her than, like, forget Alexis, those grandkids.
Right, right.
But for other people, I think it's because we're all one. It's like, I really love John Steinbeck, and he has this quote that I'm going to trash and paraphrase, that there's only one story, that every story that's being told is really just one story being just told in a slightly different way, and it's all surrounding love. Everyone wants to love and be loved. So someone breaking up, like a celebrity or your friend, it reminds you of, in my opinion, it reminds you of just the will I, won't I have love? Will I be loved? It kind of, it's like this weird thing of it comes back to you. It's about them. It's not about the person that got broken up with. It ends up being about, will I be okay? It's like when somebody dies, and then it reminds you that, wait, you're mortal. The people around you could die. So when someone breaks up, it's like, wait, you know, that can happen. I can be unhappy. It's catching.
It's profound. You know, that's such a profound insight. As I've been thinking about this topic myself, I've come up with some ideas that you've also touched upon a little bit when you mentioned your mother and your mother wanting 5 grandchildren, and we can put that aside for a moment. But I'm also really interested in how you've brought up this this phenomenon where, you know, when you're watching something negative happen to somebody else, when you're watching somebody suffer, that one of the impacts that it might have is that it reminds you that you yourself could be going through that situation, that you, it reminds one of one's vulnerability, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually hadn't thought about it that way. So I'm sitting here going, wow, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because I hadn't thought about it. When you're watching other people break up, it might, you know, if you're in a relationship, it might make you, you know, clutch that person a little bit more tightly, because you're concerned that this thing might happen to you. Like you said, it might be catching. And if a person is not in a relationship and is desiring to be in a relationship, it might bring up concerns that this will never happen for me, because look,
yeah,
you know, if those people are breaking up, I'm thinking again of Brangelina. Right,
yeah.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, who have been together for quite some time and have been very proudly out in public about the unity of their family and so forth. And so to see that relationship breaking up, I think for a lot of people, is that sobering reminder that it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, I think people rest their hopes a lot on others outside of themselves. So it's like that. Yeah, I recently just had, like, my daydream just ripped apart, actually. I rested too much hope on a similar, well, my personal Brangelina, like, in my life. And I was like, no, don't ruin my dream. That's my hope right there. But then you have to remember that those are people. They're not dreams.
Exactly.
They're actual, tangible, or breathing, living.
So as interconnected as we are also individuals, and finding the place where, you know, that magic spot where we can be both individuals and in community, I guess, can be really challenging. Speaking of community, you mentioned that, you know, for your mom, it's a big deal because, you know, she wants you to be settled and have a family, and families are so important to social stability. That's the direction that I've been going in when, you know, asking the question, why are breakups such a big deal to everybody else? We want stability in our communities, and long-term relationships traditionally have presented or have represented stability for us, isn't it?
Represented the body?
Well, no, they've represented stability.
Stability. Oh, sorry. Here. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
That's
so that our
say.
Communities. Right. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is that our communities are sort of, our relationships are sort of microcosms of our communities. So if our relationships, if our intimate relationships are stable, then our larger communities can be stable as well. If we're in a situation where people are breaking up all the time, then there might be some concern that our communities might not be stable as well.
True, true. I guess it goes back to that whole family unit, that kind of ideal, you know, of parents and kids and everyone's together until death do us part kind of thing.
Right.
Because that's the original goal of relationship is to get to that point. But now a lot of the traditional norms are breaking down, so people are kind of like, how do we do this now that we're not, you know, now women work and like a lot of things are, the game has changed. A lot of the rules are no longer ruled.
And that
I think that's another reason
wondering.
Why
No, go ahead. I guess it leaves folks wondering how are they supposed to decide what to do next? You know, if we no longer have that set progression that says, you go to school, then you work at a company for 35 years and you have a family and your 2.5 kids and the house and the car and so forth. If we don't have that template available to us anymore, yeah, then the question is, you know, what do we do? And so I'm supposing that in many ways, one of the reasons why we then become obsessed with other people's breakups is because of the challenges to our own stability that those might represent.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Heavy stuff.
It is kind of heavy. And I really appreciate the insight that you've brought to the conversation with that. You're actually giving me quite a bit to think about. I'm wondering if we could lighten things up a little bit and go back to your music. You said that you have a prior EP that you released and that the music that we're going to be hearing, that we did hear and we're going to hear another piece in a little bit, come from that other EP that you did?
Yes. The first song is from my EP called From Red. So Red, like Red Riding Hood.
Yes.
So like this EP is From Red. and the next song that we'll be playing is actually just the demo that I did. It's not on either of my EPs. It's special on its own.
Go ahead. You know, one of the things I'm still also getting used to is the delay that we have on this platform, which I don't remember being this profound before. but yes, please go ahead.
I forgot. No, I remember. I was just going to say, it's just me and my guitar. The first one was, there are a few different musicians on that track, but the next one is just me and my guitar.
All right. Yep. So why don't we take a moment to listen to just you and your guitar, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the music and about what you have coming up.
Sounds great.
All right. This is Lex Ruckhart, and the song is called Asteroid. We'll be with you in just a moment.
Love in the dark. steps it takes us there. Down like the best, while my eyes arrest direct lines that lean up my chest. Ring so far above stars, and it's so hard, even when light is on. So let's dance like love in the dark. Counting all steps it takes us there, down like the best, while my eyes arrest direct lines I live. So let dancing like love in the dark. Destroyed. Destroy me the way I like it. Destroyed. Destroy me.
Wow, that is so amazing and just reaches right in and grabs you. What a voice, Lex. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, it's absolute truth. I mean, you know, you soar in into the depths of the feeling of the song. Tell me a bit about the song. What brought you to write it?
It's really funny. I actually wrote it. I had a crush. I don't write that many happy songs. I feel like it's funny because most of my songs, other than the two that we just played, are not breakup songs, but most of my other songs are breakup songs. And that one was based on a crush I had at this person that, I don't know if it's giving too much away. Oh, whatever. Who taught me how to play guitar. Not taught me how to play guitar. I already knew how to play guitar. I was having lessons with. And I just would get so giddy every time he played because I just thought he was an amazing player. And now it's like, oh, I'm definitely more into the fact that he's just a great guitarist. You know when someone's really good at something and you just feel and that's just how I felt every time he would play or we'd play together. I just felt like, oh, my gosh, this is so great. Yeah.
But there is this really powerful thing that happens when you share music with someone. You know, the music is it's vibration, and when you sync up with someone in a vibrational level, I think that it's quite natural that you would find yourself drawn to this person beyond just the music.
Yeah, definitely. That was kind of me and my ex. He is a musician, and that is how I felt about him as well. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's hard to tell, though. It's like you can't tell if it's the – are you really into them? Like, do you have this connection just because of the music, or is it more than the music? I think with my ex, it was definitely more than the music. And then with the person that I wrote, I sometimes write really amazing, powerful songs about people I barely know. It's just sometimes just feeling it.
How interesting. Yeah, that itself can be really powerful. So the EP that you are releasing in August is all brand new music, hasn't been heard out at all, but I'm guessing that it is mostly breakup songs?
Some of the songs, I have been playing at shows, but no, yeah, there's no recording of the songs that I'm going to release on the EP. It's releasing August 26th. I'll be having an EP release show at the Fat Baby in the Lower East Side. Yep, the Fat Baby. Fat Baby.
I know that place. I love it. And yes, I was looking at the name. I want to know where that comes from.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I thought it sounded really cool. So I was like, yeah, I want to play there. So August 26th is the EP release. But yeah, the songs that... or some of the songs that I I'm going to have on the EP are about the breakup. I wanted to say one of the songs is about the breakup, but it's not really about the breakup. I feel like it's about me in stages after the breakup, but it's not like necessarily about the breakup. But there's one song called Coffee that is directly, specifically about my ex, and he knows, and he loved it, actually. He heard it, and it's like, yep, that's definitely about me. Like, yeah.
Well, it does say something about the maturity of both of you that, you know, even after you've decided that this isn't going to work out for you, you can still share the music, and that he can be introspective about it, that it isn't a situation that's necessarily adversarial, you know, where you're both on the defensive with your claws out, but that you're able to talk.
That is so funny that you said that, because he said that a couple of years ago, and now that is not the case. But that's really, really nice if that were the case. Actually, he never wants to talk to me again. But, you know.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that. On the one
totally
hand, exactly. On the other hand, you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this show is in order to explore, you know, to think through the idea that doesn't have to spell disaster, you know, that somebody deciding that the healthiest thing for me or what I can handle best is not speaking to you ever again really is about the needs of that person and does not have to define who you are. You know, you're not a bad person because somebody out there has decided that they need to not talk to you.
Yes, I definitely had to remind myself that. So glad you said that. That was very well said.
Well,
because I definitely needed
thank
to hear
you,
that.
But I also want to acknowledge, on the other hand, that it is challenging because the way we are conventionally socialized to understand that kind of thing is as rejection, which is really painful.
Yes, it definitely felt like a rejection. I don't know. I think it's a mix of both. I think he doesn't want to talk to me because it's for both of us. I think it probably is a healthier thing for both of us because I don't want to get back in that cycle of, oh, should we get back together, or, oh, like feelings, I don't know how to handle these feelings. It's just easier. And then on the other hand, there are times where he has vilified me. So, anyway, so I don't know. I don't know what he thinks now because we haven't spoken in a year, but I hope it's the first that it's just healthier.
Right. Well, you're bringing up then the other part of it that is not perhaps so healthy or is at least very difficult to deal with, which is what does happen when, you know, folks are no longer together, and part of the process that they choose for handling that or for navigating that is to speak ill of the person with whom they used to share this wonderful intimacy, you know, talk to other people and say bad things about them. You know, is that a necessary part of breaking up? I don't know. It is something that people do a lot though, right?
Yeah. And it's hard because sometimes I think, you know, the whole thing of people getting involved, there were a lot of times where my friends would say bad things about him. And even though there were times where he hurt my feelings, I hated the idea of anyone saying things like, don't say that about him. He's not ugly, or like, he's not like the worst person in the world. But I think he's a good person that was very unkind to me. If that makes sense. yeah, it's tricky to balance the whole like, empathy, but also realistically, like, not a good idea to be together. That kind of thing.
Right. Especially if it isn't something that is a normal, common part of our culture when it comes to breaking up.
Yeah. I definitely found myself saying, well, yeah, you go, I think there are lots of different stages of a breakup. You go through the being really sad, really, really angry, you want them back, you want them to not exist, you want it's like all lots of different stages, and sometimes you bounce through them multiple times. And is that, it was actually a really long time ago. It's weird because I was thinking about it today. I was like, wow, it's been a while since that actually even happened. So it's weird that it still lingers in me. But I guess when you love somebody, it kind of just, that happens. Like, you don't just, like, stop loving somebody or, like, worrying about them or thinking, like, I hope they're okay in the world.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, these experiences become embedded within us. They become part of who we are in our lived reality going forward, you know, for the rest of our lives. Even if it's been quite a while, if it was a really significant relationship in this sense, I recognize it for you that it was, you know, this is the first serious relationship where you, you know, went through a breakup, as you explained. I think that it's found in a sense that's going to stay with you and in many ways help to define how you experience relationships going forward. But then there might come a time where it isn't so present all the time, even though it might continue to have some kind of influence on how you experience relationships going forward. These things can also kind of fade so that they're not so present and so painful. I mean, are you experiencing that as time goes by?
Experiencing what exactly?
That even though you still have, you know, like you said, you don't stop loving somebody or caring about them, but that the acuteness, you know, the sharp, if there was a sharp feeling of hurt around the breakup, that is going away to a certain extent, that it doesn't feel so painful as it used to?
I think it softens. I think sometimes when I look at the concept of love and relationships, when I'm more down about it, less hopeful, then the pain, like, yeah, it depends on what's happening in my life, what past events I look back to and how I feel about them. And with that, it definitely, I mean, I'm glad to realize that, yeah, this is the best, us not being together, which I've known for quite a while, actually. But I don't know. I think if I think about it for a long time, the pain does, like, rise up a little bit more. But, yeah, no, it's definitely not as sharp as, because when it happened, oh gosh, oh, the first time when it happened, it was like, it felt like death. And the second time didn't feel like death. It felt like freedom more so, even though I still, like, didn't want it to happen. It felt like, okay, well, and this needs to happen.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, well, I don't know.
Well, it is interesting, the tools, the strength that experience can give us as we navigate these relationship experiences. I have to let you know that the time has just flown by. It's just a couple minutes left in the show, and I'm surprised. I've, you know, looked at the time, and I can't believe how time has flown by. I want to thank you so much for being on the show and for being my first guest on this iteration of the show. I want to remind folks that your EP is coming out on the 26th of August. Is that right?
Yep.
And you have an EP release party at Fat Baby in, where is it now?
In New York City, Lower East Side of Manhattan.
On the 26th?
On the 26th. And they can find my music. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I guess I'm on the site, the spelling of my name, Lex Rockhart. And sometimes people get it weird because they think it's H-E-A-R-T, but it's actually R-O-C-H-A-R-T.
Right, right. Well, I will be sure to get that information from you and add it to the blog so that folks who are listening to the show will be able to go over and see that and be able to come and see you live. So I've just got my 90-second warning. Lex, thanks again so much for being on the show. I want to let folks who are listening know that next week is Mother's Day. We have a special show coming up. We may have a cameo appearance. I'm going to try to get a cameo appearance from the person who gave me life, my own mother. And then I've invited a friend of mine, Christine Day, to come onto the show to talk from a mother's perspective about advice that she would give to her own children and to, you know, any other young person about breakups and about relationships and finding healthy and sane ways to end our relationships. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you will tune in again next time. Thank you for bearing with our technical difficulties with this first show. I'm glad that we got that all out of the way. We're going to have smooth sailing going forward, I'm very sure. But thank you again for listening, and I look forward to joining you again next week, Sundays at 7 Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com. Have a wonderful week. Take care.